listener. It's Zach Harper, Amin Alhassan, and Anthony Mays of Cinephobe. You may be asking yourself, what is Cinephobe? Amin, would you like to fill in the people?
Cinephobe is the podcast where Zach and I watch movies that are poorly rated on Rotten Tomatoes and try to ascertain.
Ascertain?
Yes.
Okay. Ascertain.
Whether or not they're accurately poorly rated, or maybe they didn't get a fair shake. Cinephobe, produced by this guy, Anthony Mays.
Hey, that's me. I produced this show. I also watch the movies, even though that wasn't included in the description, and I also ascertain. This month is...
Whoa!
Oh, Maze, why'd you say that? Supercharge it. So that this promo can remain evergreen.
I feel like explaining a little bit more.
In 60 seconds?
I don't know. Maybe I don't bring attention to it. Assuring people like, look, if you listen, you're going to get it. Just give it time.
That's a good promo. Just listen to it.
Give it time.
You'll figure it out.
Is this the promo right now?
Isn't it?
Okay, I think we got it.
Cinephobe.
Wherever you get podcasts.
A detective came and knocked on the door, and I said, is it Renee? And he just gave me that solemn look.
It was the worst day ever.
The Proof Podcast is back with a new case and a new season. 23 years ago, 18-year-old Renee Ramos went missing. Her body was later found in an empty Home Depot building on the edge of town.
I don't think that they arrested the right people. It's about time somebody's trying to do something.
She had a black eye about 2 weeks before she was murdered.
They are involved. They definitely had her body and her backpack.
You know people are going to judge you, right?
Of course. They're judging me now. They've been judging me damn near my whole life.
You can listen now to season 2 of Proof, wherever you get your podcasts, and follow along with us as we reinvestigate the murder at the warehouse.
I have to ask, did you kill Renee?
Coming to you live from our houses in Los Angeles, California, it's Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, your comedy field guide to life. Tonight, spiders. Whether it's itsy bitsy and going up your water spout or a Goliath tarantula under your bed, spiders scare us, fascinate us, lure us into their webs. Dr. Eleanor Spicer Rice is here to answer our arachnid queries. Plus, what, another mailbag so soon? Well, when Tony Nita Hull reads through 100 emails from nobodies in one day, she's got stuff to share, including a theme song for Captain Crinkle's spinoff show. God damn it, Bonnie. You got more fan mail than I did. I'm Adam Felber, the man who tries to weave our discussion into a web that captures a topic at its heart. And now, please welcome the woman whose spinnerets always spew out silky irrelevance without any pattern in sight, Paula Poundstone.
Hey!
Hey,
guys, how are ya?
Welcome, Paula.
And thank you so much, and thanks to tonight's house band, Nobody, Colin Miller on the guitar. Colin, by the way, is also the operations manager at Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. And every time I've had an operation there, he's been the manager, which is just great, telling.
Right.
You know, like the time I had the tummy tuck, I stood up afterwards and I had this huge pot belly. And I demanded right. to speak to the manager, and it was Colin. And the time I cut myself in half, and then I had to have an operation after that, again, there was Colin. So, yeah. What was the name of the guy that was upset?
Ed.
Was it Ed? It was either Ed or Richard. I think it was Ed. Yeah. Yeah. So I'm not going to describe in detail what happened that day. All I'm going to say is Colin was the operations manager. When I had that surgery.
But what Colin really does, as he described to Bonnie Burns earlier this week, is he is in charge of everything at Wait, Wait that isn't funny.
Wow. It's not a lot.
It means he handles a lot of details, and apparently my appearances, I'm guessing. Also, he's quite a musician. That's some nice guitar work there, Colin. I think he might be a graduate of the Berklee School of Music in Boston. Am I imagining that, or is that a thing?
No, he is. He told me he was.
Thank you, Captain Crinkle. Wow. Yes, he is.
No problem, Adam.
Thank you, Colin.
Hold on. There you go.
Oh, there it is. The signature Crinkle coming in from Captain Crinkle, ladies and gentlemen.
So, Paula Poundstone, what's new?
I'll tell you what's new. You know, my dog Mo, previously known as the Pod Puppy, is now known as the Prank Puppy. Last week, she repeatedly turned on the treadmill while I was sitting on it in a chair recording the show. And last night, I was hungry for Fritos, and I knew I had a bag. I looked all over for them, and I finally found them. I reached into the bag, and there was regurgitated cat food in there. She does stuff like that now all the time.
Well, your first suspect would probably be a cat on that one, wouldn't it?
No, I don't think so, and I'll tell you why. A few days ago, she put an elephant in my backyard. And a few days ago, she put an elephant in my backyard. And then Trump, President Trump, stopped by, saw the elephant, and said, "Don't tell me. Trump."
Yeah.
Trump saw the elephant. He said, "Don't tell me."
No, I get it, Paula.
Don't
I thought he
tell
was gonna,
me what
I,
it is. It's a.
Yeah, I get it.
It's a. And so that was clearly Mo that did that. She's been doing stuff like that lately. The pod prank, the prank puppy. That's who she's become.
Yeah.
There was something else I was going to tell you. What the heck was it? Oh, I know.
I don't know. What?
I got the coolest. I know we're doing mailbag at the end, but
mailbag.
I got the coolest note in the mail the other day, and a package. It's from some fans, Joe and Kathy.
Okay.
And they sent me these wooden Thomas Coin coins. And they called them Thomas Coins, as in, see, our Thomas Coin is Thomas Coyne. But they sent these Thomas Coins. They said that can be left in places that he is not, which is
right.
A brilliant
idea. To remind our listeners, Thomas Coin was the survivalist back on episode 3 of this show who didn't make it onto our show. We were stuck with Captain Crinkle and Tony Anita Hall looking up how to survive a bear attack because Thomas Coin never showed. And then after that, he also just ghosted on us. You know, he never answered another email or phone call.
Yeah.
So we've been engaged in a manhunt.
So we've been worried to death about Thomas Coin. So we asked our listeners at that time to begin searching for him. And listeners have. People come up to me all the time. So one of the techniques that's been helpful is to say where he isn't. You know, if you've looked somewhere.
And as you know, I do not consider that to be a helpful technique.
Well, you're concerned that we are wasting our energy recording where he isn't. But that's where these coins are helpful, these Thomas coins, because if you look someplace, you can leave the coin, which is great, because then someone else isn't looking there again. So that's really helpful.
Again, I love the idea of these coins, but there's no reason why that coin would indicate that he's not presently there. I mean, he's not there when you put the coin down, but there's nothing that's going to stop Thomas Coin from just showing up and hanging out right on where somebody dropped one of those coins.
You know, it's a little bit like testing for the coronavirus, isn't it?
Yes, it's exactly like testing for the coronavirus. If you don't have it today, it's not that you're never going to have it.
Yeah, exactly. And by looking for Thomas Coin so much, that's why we find him more than other countries, because our searching is the best there is, the best in the world, the best there's ever been.
No one's ever seen anything like the searching that we have done. No one has done
Thomas
searching
Coin.
Like we have done searching. Yes.
People say to me all the time, to other people, I think, possibly, we'll see. But what they say is that our searching is unbelievable, you know?
Yeah. People have never seen anything like it. They come to me and they say, "How could you have been doing all this searching?"
That's exactly what they say. And other countries aren't searching for Thomas Coin. And that's why they don't.
That's why
find
we
him.
Have many more places where Thomas Coin isn't than they do.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Yes. We have cases of places where he isn't. We have more cases.
Yeah, we really do.
So it's right, very similar science. But anyways, I don't think so. But anyways, we do have those Thomas coins. And I think that's a brilliant idea. And I want to thank Joe and Kathy so much for sending those in. Joe and Kathy Osterman, by the way, just in case you were wondering which Joe and Kathy.
We've had some amazing contributions from listeners lately. I mean, just recently a listener, and maybe Tony Anita Hall will help me remember the name of this listener, posted a video of the intro to Perry Mason, but altered to
be... That was Raymond Burr.
Oh, I'm sorry. Raymond Burr. Raymond Burr posted it?
Yeah, that's who sent that in. That was Raymond Burr.
No, I think it was Christine somebody, wasn't it, Tony?
It was, I believe, Christine Cox.
Okay. Working with Raymond Burr, no doubt. But it had altered the opening to Perry Mason to be the case of the murder of Doug, the intern.
Yeah, that was, they did. They took the opening, like, what do you call that? It's not the credits. What do you call that part that begins the show?
The cold open.
No, that's not the cold open. No,
the theme song.
It's the part with the theme song over top of it. But where
the titles, the opening titles.
No, thank you very much.
Welcome.
See, Captain Crinkle has been in the business for quite a while. People,
right?
You know what? Now that we're talking about the contributions of our listeners, and thank you so much, all of you, Christine. That was an amazing title sequence. She put in the episode's name was Doug, and then she put in where Perry usually hands the judge some sort of document. It's Adam's book, which of course was in the crime scene when Doug was killed. Oh my gosh! Right. When I mentioned Doug being killed, I shudder a little bit.
He was a great intern, and again, all of you who are writing in and saying that we just came up with Doug spur of the moment because we wanted to have sort of an ongoing crime serial on our podcast. I mean, nothing could be further from the truth. And frankly, Paula and I are insulted, and Doug's family is insulted whenever you bring up those kind of aspersions.
Yeah, I'm insulted. Do you want to know how insulted? Tune in next week.
How?
By the way, just so everyone knows, Bonnie Burns has been my manager for... It's incalculable. I would have to cut her in half and read the rings to know for sure. But it's been like over 26 years, and she's the best manager there ever was, and she's done a fantastic job.
No doubt.
Yeah. How do you get a podcast like this without that kind of management?
You can't get a podcast without a manager.
Are you kidding?
Absolutely not.
You can't. Okay, remember Burgess Meredith in Rocky? She's better than that. Bonnie's better than that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
You know, as long as we brought up Bonnie, let's do our weekly Around the Horn, find out how everybody's enjoying
it. Oh, I feel terrible.
Their...
I forgot to even ask how those guys were. My mistake.
We do that every week since the coronavirus started. Bonnie Burns, Captain Crinkle, Paula's manager, our producer.
I have a stomachache.
Why?
Really?
I don't know. I have phone fright.
What do you mean you have phone
I'm
fright?
Not prepared.
You're a manager.
I know.
Well, you have phone fright?
That part, I think I do that part well.
Now, Bonnie, was this going to be your contribution for What's New, Bonnie? Or is this just a... random neurons firing? Yes.
We could stop now.
No, what do you have? That's
My daughter took the dogs and the cat to the vet. That's how much I've moved, gotten out of the house. And let's see.
And that's not at all because that's your daughter getting out of the house.
No, that's my point. And outside of that, I've just been home. There's my update.
Okay, thank you.
Okay,
moving
you're
on.
Welcome. Thanks for tooling around. Hi, everybody.
Hi, Bonnie.
Okay.
Tony Anita Hall, take us away. What's happening?
Well, not much. Did Bonnie's
daughter take anything of yours to the vet? That's usually a good go-to.
It is a good go-to. We were, you know what? We were in a crossword puzzle.
Oh, yes. That's a good, that's a good thing to bring to the show. Yes, our podcast was in a crossword puzzle.
Yep. It was in the Los Angeles Times and also the Washington Post. We were a clue. Very exciting.
You want to read the clue?
Yeah. So the clue was, nobody listens to blank Poundstone comedy podcast.
Now, I love this that we made it onto a crossword puzzle.
Yeah. It's very impressive.
I do too.
Yeah. It's just because of that great managerial work.
Well, that's what I was going to say. You wouldn't have made that crossword puzzle if I hadn't have made the deal for you to do the podcast.
No, absolutely. That's absolutely true. And if it weren't for your daughter taking your pets to the vet.
Thank you.
Yeah. It's a whole, you know what? This is sort of like It's a Wonderful Life. You never know how your life is affecting someone else's, you know?
Right.
Because Bonnie's cat was pooping all over the house, Bonnie's daughter took the pets to the vet. Do you see what I'm saying? It's one thing that leads to another. So really, our thanks here is to Bonnie's cat.
Yeah. Why
did she take them all to the vet?
Well, they were due for their shots, the two dogs, and the cat is pretty old, and let's see, I can't remember what was wrong with him. I think it was, that he wasn't pooping, actually.
Oh my gosh, trade ya!
I was going to say, I think the pooping is in your house.
Yeah, it is! Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah, let's trade cats. That's a good idea.
I want to go back to talking about the crossword puzzle. Leave behind pooping cats.
Yeah, that was 38 across is pooping.
Tony, just cats. 38 across was Paula. Tony, what about the down questions? You want to read us the down questions
that
spelled out Paula?
Okay, 38 down is honey or sugar?
How many letters?
It starts with a P.
It's 7 letters. It does start with a P. I'll give you that.
And it starts with
honey
a P.
Or sugar.
Honey or sugar? Honey or sugar?
I remember this one. I got that one.
Sugar.
It's pet names.
You guys want me to tell you?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's pet names.
Yep.
Oh.
Pet name.
Pet
oh,
name.
Like Sweetie Pie?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, like don't be a.
Oh.
Don't be a.
Bonnie doesn't like it.
Pet name, honey or sugar. Well, I wouldn't have come up with that in a million years. Okay.
Me neither.
You know, when your cat poops all over the house, you don't call it honey or sugar.
Well, it's a different kind of pet, Paula.
Oh, pet name. Oh.
Okay, this is gross. This is gross.
Oh, she's got something
I have
gross
to ask
to say.
This.
All right.
Wait.
Okay, so.
Ed's going to be so upset.
No, it is. I have to
I'm
ask
already
this,
upset.
Though, Paula.
Bonnie is
and
interrupting
all the time
with
we've known each other,
this is gross. This,
okay, it's gross. So.
So you cannot say it if you want.
No, I have to ask. Okay,
do
so
you?
When our cat poops, the dogs lick his ass. Do your dogs lick your cat's ass?
Why are we doing this?
I'd like to go on vacation. Like land.
It's like asking Bonnie a question on the show. We should do it later in the show because it's like uncorking a champagne bottle and there's no getting that cork back in.
And remember when she didn't want to talk? Remember when she was like, oh yeah, I am.
Take me back.
Just 20 short minutes ago, she's like, oh, I hate this. I'm scared of microphones. And now she's like, does your dog lick your cat's ass after it poops? God damn it, Bonnie.
We had a listener who wrote in a complaint that I said like something really gross one time, and it caused his gag reflex to go off. His name was Ed. That listener's name was Ed. And Ed now is heaving.
We might not be the show for Ed.
And wait till he hears my answer, which is, Not if I get to it first.
Oh! We know when we take a break, which will be soon, Bonnie, I want you to think about how you started that little anecdote with, I have to say this. Because what I would suggest is maybe you didn't.
No, when I see it, I think this is nature at work, right?
Yeah.
Oh. Oh, I want to be anywhere but here right now. Hey, Paula, do you have a vocabulary word this week?
Oh, yeah. I don't think I can say it. Oh, my heavens. You know what, Adam? I do have a word. It's I'm crying. Okay, I have a word. Yeah. It's disputatious, which is an adjective that means fond of or causing heated arguments. Here, I'll use it in a sentence.
Okay.
My cat Theo is quite disputatious in her exchanges with my dog Mo, who Theo regularly slaps rapidly in the snout. Disputatious.
Okay.
All right. And Adam, you know, hold on a second here. Wait. Oh, I had to get ready.
I'm surprised that you didn't know the word disputatious. That sounds like one that you'd be able to at least divine by context.
So often when I say the word, you'll tell me if it's a good word, or you'll say you're surprised that I don't know it. I'm not putting out words that I knew already. The words are words that I'm either, maybe I've heard it before, but I wasn't exactly sure. Or just, I don't know, words that I didn't know. I don't have a big vocabulary.
Well, I'd say that you do now.
Don't I wish?
After all these months of word of the week, and with your amazing mnemonic.
Well, that's my goal, you know, is so that, you know, because the pandemic is taking a toll on my memory, it's a lucky thing that I have the vocabulary song to help make disputatious, for example, my own. Here's. This week's word is disputatious. It's an adjective that means fond of or causing heated arguments. Fuck you, I don't want your 2 cents. Last week's word was inveigle. It's a verb that means persuade someone to do something by deception or flattery. I love you, Mom. Will you buy me a new phone battery? The week before that, we had revivify. It's a verb that means give new life or strength to someone or something. It happens when you eat a ring-ding. Going back before that, we had parlous. It's an adjective from old use or humor. It means dangerously uncertain, precarious. Like a maskless idiot with a virus. And not long ago we had incommodious. It's an adjective that means causing discomfort or inconvenience. Like when the meaner maid doesn't show any lenience. Let's never forget Gallimaufry, which I pronounced wrong until nobody, James Hyder, corrected me. It's a noun that means confused jumbler medley of things. Hodgepodge,
who's podge?
Adam doesn't think my song is replicable, but I do. You know, I was away over the weekend because I was in Vienna at the... receiving an award.
At the Glockenspiel Festival, yeah.
I was receiving an award from the Society of Glockenspielers. And,
it does sound like you've taught yourself a second phrase in the song at this point.
Well, I always knew it. I didn't want to reveal it right away. Because, you know, you want to build. That's what I learned about the show business. If there's one thing I learned from my manager, Bonnie, she always said to me, build, you know? Don't let everybody
build.
Don't put it all out in the first few minutes, you know, build, which
Don't talk about licking the cat's butt in Act One.
That's exactly. See, I think you've taken her message and then applied it in a practical right. way. That's fantastic. Sure. Or really another amazing. Thing she used to say to me is, if you talk about licking the cat's butt in Act One, make sure you talk about licking the dog's butt in the closing act. That's what.
Oh, it's positively Chekhovian in her theatrical advice there.
Yeah. Whew, boy.
Coming up, in E.B. White's Charlotte's Web, Charlotte the Spider says, I wove my webs for you because I liked you. After all, what's a life anyway? We're born, we live a while, we die. A spider's life can't help being something of a mess with all the trapping and eating flies. By helping you, perhaps I was trying to lift up my life a trifle. Heaven knows anyone's life can stand a little of that. Dr. Eleanor Spicer Rice will open up our eyes to the amazing life of spiders that's coming up when we return to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone.
The spread of misinformation has fueled our cultural divide and increased our collective anxiety about the future. Tackling misinformation isn't a simple task, but it's important. And that's why I'm so excited to tell you about Conspirituality, a podcast that's dismantling New Age cults, wellness grifters, and conspiracy mad yogis.
On the show, a journalist, a cult researcher, and a philosophical skeptic walk into a bar, and the bartender says, no, it's not that old joke. They dive deep into current events such as RFK Jr.'s involvement in mainstreaming dangerous anti-vax rhetoric.
Urgh.
They crowdsource, research, analyze, and dream up answers to the problem with, get this, proven science as their ultimate guiding light.
I highly recommend you check out Conspirituality's fascinating episodes on creating comedy in the MAGAverse with Jordan Klepper or RFK Jr. flirting with body fascism.
And you've listened to a bunch of them at this point, Paula, I know, and you tell me you love it.
I do. They're fascinating, and my favorite part is they use, wait for it, proven science.
Science?
And if there's any kids listening, that's a class we used to take. Proven yep. science as their ultimate guiding light. I love that.
From exploring cults to analyzing our cultural and political landscape, the Conspirituality podcast will help you stay informed about misinformation and help you resist fear tactics. Find Conspirituality on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
On this day in unremarkable history, Robert E. Lee said, well, I guess that's it then.
Thank you, house band Colin Miller. You know, I didn't realize that Colin had that kind of musical talent. I really didn't.
Me neither. During my operations, he didn't play a note.
Again, he's operations manager of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Guy's a gifted surgeon. Gifted surgeon.
He's got great hands. And he picks a mean jazzy guitar, too. Paula, I understand that it is spider season out where you are in Santa Monica, California.
It is spider season. They're everywhere. And I don't know, like, am I wasting my energy being afraid of them?
Well, it depends on which ones you're afraid of, doesn't it?
Precisely. I don't know enough about them to know which one I'm supposed to yell eek over.
Now, are you really genuinely creeped out by spiders?
No, I'm creeped out by their webs. We have their webs everywhere. And once you get a web on you, you don't know if the spider was connected to it or not.
That is true. That does freak me out, too, whenever
so I walk right through their web and then I'm like, oh, I don't know.
All right. Well, we have someone on the phone who can help ease our arachnophobia or make it worse. She might make it worse. Dr. Eleanor Spicer Rice got her doctorate in entomology from North Carolina State University, and today she's a senior science writer at Verdant World. Or is that Verdant Word, Eleanor?
It's Verdant Word. Hey.
Verdant Word, the company she co-founded. She's the author of Dr. Eleanor's Book of Common Ants and Dr. Eleanor's Book of Common Spiders. Please welcome the uncommon Dr. Eleanor Spicer Rice.
Yeah. Thanks for being here.
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Well, thank you for being with us. So, Dr. Eleanor, should I be afraid of spiders?
No, you should not be afraid of spiders, but you should be cautious of spiders. because all spiders have venom, but most spiders don't bite, and many couldn't even pierce your skin if they tried to bite you. They're mostly really? Here for good. Yes.
Well, but there are those that could hurt you.
There are some spiders that could hurt you, but they don't even want to hurt you. They did a study where they tried to get black widows to bite somebody. They just tried to force it to bite somebody. And the only way they could get it to bite them is if they squeezed it as if its life was in peril. And finally, it tried to bite. It's really, really hard to get. Yeah, most spiders really try to stay away from you as much as possible. It's really hard to get a spider to bite you.
You know what I'd like to know is how they got the person to do that study.
Yeah, well, you know what? There's somebody for everything these days.
I guess so.
But I'll tell you what, when it came out, there were a bunch of us who were just waiting at the edges of our seats to read it.
Oh, really?
No, yeah. It's thrilling to a lot of us because we hear about spider bites. When you study bugs, everybody tells you they were bitten by a spider, and pretty much every single time they were not bitten by a spider.
Well, who bit them?
Well, a lot of times, a lot of things can be misdiagnosed as spider bites, like flea bites. When people mm-hmm. sleep at night, fleas will bite people on their sides and stuff. And infected mosquito bites, skin reactions, all kinds of things. They did this study where they thought there was a brown recluse outbreak at a prison. And mm-hmm. they went back and looked because this poor spider was getting blamed for everything. And it ended up being just a MRSA infection. You know, antibiotic resistant, you know, infection that was uh-huh. going across. But everybody sees that kind of characteristic and thinks it's a spider bite. But mm-hmm. it's not. They're often misdiagnosed. The maligned spider.
So did the spider sue? That would be a good idea.
Well, they're probably looking for representation if y'all know anybody.
Now, you did mention the brown recluse. Now, what I've always been told is that, especially since I live here in the southwest portion of the United States, that the mm-hmm. two spiders to look out for are the brown recluse and the black widow.
Right. So those are the two most venomous spiders in North America, but many of us live outside their range. So I'm not sure exactly where you are, but in California, there is a desert recluse in the southern part of California. But brown recluses don't live anywhere near y'all.
Oh, really? Well, not near the coast?
Adam mm-hmm. lives in a town called Black Widowville.
Right. Well, to be fair, I have found several black widow spiders in and among around my property. One in the garage. One was living behind the TV outside. They definitely are in the Los Angeles area. No, not in front of it. They don't like my taste in movies. Yeah, no.
Right. Well, that's interesting. They can there's a Western black widow that does live out there, but they don't. Do you ever get bothered by them other than getting freaked out when you see them? We have black widows all over our yard here. And they don't do anything.
All over your yard?
Oh yeah, we have them. I mean, we find them under everything over here. I'm on the East Coast. I'm in
North Carolina. You said yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. But I've never been bitten by one or anything. My children run around barefoot all day long. There's no problem with them, but they can hurt you if you do. A lot of times when I do know someone who's bitten by a black widow, and what happened was it had climbed into her shirt. And when she pulled her shirt onto her body, it squeezed a black widow against her body and it bit her in the chest. So it wasn't like it was attacking her. It was just trying to get away from her.
But gotcha. Okay, this would be where I take issue with these spiders because that's the problem. I mean, I'm not going to do anything deliberately to a spider, but who knows if it goes in my shirt or goes in my sleeping uniform or goes in my shoe, right?
Yes.
Then this is the thing. My sleeping uniform. I don't wear pajamas, but I do.
I got it.
Yeah. In a uniform. So this is the thing.
A uniform.
Like, yeah. And with ID on it, by the way. But that's my whole point about the spiders, that they may misinterpret what's going on and feel the need to bite me. Because once you've walked like through their web, because spiders around here, they have a tendency. We had one that kept making a web
in front of our front door on the outside mm-hmm. of our house, and you had no choice but to walk. And sometimes I would remember and I go, oh, and I would be careful and try to, you know, move around it. But plenty mm-hmm. of times you just walk out not really thinking. And then you, first of all, there's spider web all over your face and in your hair. And second of all, I have no way of knowing if that spider's still hanging off there or not. And what if it thinks I attacked it?
Well, those spiders do not really bite you. Those orb weavers, it'd be really hard. I mean, it doesn't even really hurt if they bite you. But
they don't hurt you if they bite me, but me, they might hurt.
No. Those are not to be feared. I mean, they'll crawl.
Wait, what kind did you say it was?
Orb weavers. It's just a general type of spider. Different types of spiders can build different types of webs. And some build that Charlotte's web kind of orb, you know, that big, beautiful
thing that
you're walking through and wondering if it's in your mouth. That's what you have. And what I'm guessing is that you would turn your porch light on at night, would you? And then they would come out and they would catch everything that flew to your porch light. And they're really good at catching stuff. They're wasteful feeders. They catch so many things that they have to throw out the dead, you know, bugs that they can't eat in the morning.
Why don't they donate them to less fortunate bugs?
They really should. Well, they do. They throw them on the ground. The ants will come and get them, I guess. Okay. But they, those spiders, they don't really, in the morning when you come out, they're mm-hmm. not there anymore because they only use their web at night. And then many times they'll take their own webs down. If you would give them time and stop ruining their house, they'll eat their webs and then
they'll
build
do
it
what
again
to their
every
webs?
Night.
They'll eat it?
They'll eat it. They'll go around and disassemble their webs. And then, or you can just save them the step and crash through it in the morning.
So they don't live in their webs long term?
Oh, they live beside their webs. They just use their webs. Those just use their webs to catch food. And then they hide in the daytime. And then when you turn that light on, it's like, you know, setting up
feeding time.
You know,
yeah.
Yeah. The fried chicken house. And then they're turning on the light. And so that's what they're doing. So they're not, unless you're walking out there at nighttime when they're feeding, they're not going to be on you. Well,
Yeah, sometimes.
But you could just turn your light off.
I don't have a curfew.
Well, why are they so attracted to cars? Seems like it's a side view mirror thing happening or
on my side view mirror.
Oh, yeah. I mean, think of how great that is for a spider that all it has to do is set up a little web right there in that protected area. And then you drive around and catch all of its food for it.
Oh, wow. I mean, so we're getting like to-go orders for it.
You are doing like the fast food for spiders. Yeah. You're like, you are their joint. And so you're making their little house for them and you're protecting them in there. You're not going to swat them because like, who cares? And then they just eat all the bugs that you're running into.
Oh, so they like cars because they move.
Yeah, you're doing good for them. Get a little breeze, get some naps. I mean, they don't have to sit there in your driveway all day long. I mean, you're moving around getting stuff for them. It's a great way to be.
The stay-at-home order has probably upset them because I don't drive that much anymore. Now, they're still there. My daughter took a spider class in college. And I don't think she did it so much. You know, she didn't go to this college in hopes of studying spiders. I think it was really what fit into her schedule. But having said that, the only reason I know she took a spider class is because I think she has referenced in conversation that class to me more than any other class she took. But why would someone intentionally study spiders? What's to be gained from it?
From studying spiders?
Yeah.
It's the coolest thing. I mean, first of all, arthropods. So spiders aren't insects, right? But arthropods are like spiders and ticks and mites and stuff and insects. They make up 80% of the life that we know on Earth, right? So
arthropods do?
Yes. So they're most of the animals that we can see. So everywhere your daughter goes, there are spiders. You're never more than 4 feet from a spider. I know the guy who did this study. He did it in the Arctic. He did it everywhere. You are never more than 4 feet from a spider, even while we're talking in our separate places. So
you just creep me out.
No, you're supposed to be getting excited.
Oh, yes. That's what it is.
Yeah. You're supposed to
never
be
more than
thrilled.
4 feet. Because, okay, 2 feet from where I'm sitting is my shelves of videotapes. Do you think that the spiders are behind the collection of the Waltons or the Honeymooners?
Oh, no. Let's think about this. The Waltons are probably more wholesome. Let's go with the Waltons.
Oh, they are more
hoping
wholesome.
For some pie.
Yeah, let's face it. The Honeymooners was a constant threat of domestic abuse.
Oh, it's just that it's probably painful.
One of these days!
Although they do have kind of tumultuous love lives themselves a lot of times, so, you know.
Oh, do they?
Oh,
is
yeah.
Is there a lot of heartbreak in the life of a spider?
There's a lot of husband eating, isn't there?
Well, spiders are all predators, right? So any spider could be a lover or it could be a meal for that female. Because to mate, he has to insert his special mating organs right underneath where her fangs are. So she could either eat him. All these spiders come up with different ways of tricking their girlfriends into doing it with them. So like the orb weavers, a lot of the orb weavers will sit on the side and they'll strum songs like a guitar. They'll like pluck a song on the guitar and writing spiders do this. And the writing spider the female will sing back to them, like pluck a song back to them, and they'll work something out that way.
You say pluck, what are they plucking on? The web?
They pluck the strings of the web. Mm-hmm. So the female she'll tune the web. But here's the thing. So when he goes and mates with her, right, he doesn't want anybody else to mate with her. He wants to be the only mate. So as soon as he inserts his pedipalps into her, he spontaneously dies. And then he just hangs there until she either eats him or he falls off so that nobody else can mate with her. It's called extreme monogamy.
Yeah, I would
think
so.
That is extreme.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whoa.
See, it seems like if
they all have weird things.
But to suicide through sex, it's just amazing.
Yeah, but you got to get it done. And then some spiders, like the ones that weave little sheet webs in your yard. You ever wake up in the morning and you look out and you see like little sheets in the grass?
Yeah.
Those spiders will come up and they have these like sexy web flexings. So they'll flex the web like a mattress and the female will come out and she gets hypnotized. And then he releases a chemical and it causes her to pass out. And while she's knocked out, he mates with her and runs away. And then she wakes up and she's pregnant. He roofies her.
Whoa, that doesn't sound ethical.
No, but it happens.
Hashtag WTF, though. I mean,
they all do crazy stuff. All of them. Like, wow. if you see a
spider.
Do
any of them just approach the female and go, hey, you got something on your face? There? Yeah. No, there. No, you know what? I'll just get it. I'll get it for you.
Yeah. And then spiders do that. They'll be like, hey, I'm going to be the best boyfriend ever. Do you want a back rub? And then they give them like a massage. And when the female gets all like sweet because she's gotten this massage, he jumps on her and mates with her and runs away. So yes, that actually happens exactly like you said. They all like do crazy stuff. Even black widows. You want me to stop talking about spider sex? Let me just
is fascinating.
No. Black widows for a reason, right?
I'm not sure if I'm more excited that I'm single or that I'm not a spider.
Oh, yeah, no kidding. Well, you have all the power, except for with black widows. So what black widows do is the females have cobwebs. They're not, you know what a cobweb looks like. You know, it's not that pretty street web. Okay, so they put their sex pheromone in the cobweb, and so real healthy, robust black widow females have this real strong pheromone. So all the males come from all around, but the first male that gets there will wind up her web so it looks like she's sickly, because he takes away all the pheromone as he winds it up. And then she's waiting for the party and he'll be like, oh, nobody likes you, but I like you. And then he'll mate with her. He tricks her. He's like that terrible boyfriend that like, you know, makes you feel real bad about yourself so that you'll stay going out with him.
Wow. But does he then get killed in return?
Not always. No. Black widows don't eat their mates as often as they are as said to eat their mates. They will sometimes if they're hungry, but not every time.
Huh.
Wow.
Well, you would think then that one of the first mating questions from the male would be, are you hungry?
Well, that's what they do on that web plucking. They'll pluck it and they'll say, are you hungry? And if the female runs after it, they run away.
Jeez. So they're not really lesson learners. Like, don't you think that if humans could figure this out about spiders, how come spiders can't figure it out about spiders? Why do the females keep falling for these tricks or the males fall for tricks?
It's just this beautiful situation. I mean, have humans learned it about other humans?
No, they haven't. Very good point.
I bet the spiders behind the Waltons are like peeking out at y'all every night. And I'm like, Why yeah, haven't they no. figured it out?
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, wait till they hear about 2020. Yeah. Spiders all over the world are like, they're morons.
Yeah.
All right, now, you know, if I find a spider in my house and somebody is here, you know, years ago, mm-hmm. then people always go, don't kill it, don't kill it. And by the way, I never kill it. I always grab them in a Kleenex and take them outside, and then I just sort of dump them. But does a spider even survive that when I dump it out of a Kleenex onto the grass or onto the pavement? Aren't they hopelessly dislocated from their home if you do that?
It really depends. Well, first of all, the best technique for picking up a spider is to take a clear glass and put it over the spider and then slide a like a postcard or something underneath it. That way you're staying as far away from it as possible and it hurts the spider less. But yes, fewer than 5% of the spiders that live in your house right now have ever been outside. They've never seen the outdoors. Most of them are there to be with you and to help your life. Now, when the seasons change, sometimes you get some that wander around and accidentally make it into your house. And a lot of those are the ones that can really freak you out because they look real big and freaky. But yeah, when you put a lot of them outside, they don't do too well in the outdoors.
So what should I do?
Just leave them alone. They're going to try to get back in anyway.
Huh.
They're not doing anything. All they're doing is helping you out. So they've done a study.
In
on
what way
homes.
Are they helping me?
Well, they eat your pests. So in people's houses, they've done studies on people's homes, and the average house has more than 100 species of arthropods living in it. The average house, not dirty houses, species, there's different types of arthropods. So it's not 100 bugs living in your house. It's 100 different types of bugs living in your house, okay? So
I may as well live outside.
You might as well, but your house is this beautiful, crazy ecosystem, and spiders are a top predator and they're a really valuable part of that ecosystem. So they're going through your house and eating all kinds of junk that you don't even want to deal with. And it's not just the spiders that you see. It's a lot of times spiders that you don't see, that you don't even realize are there. I have this great spider. Can I tell you about the spider that lives on my ceiling?
Please.
In
yes,
my bathroom?
Go ahead.
Y'all have them out there. I have a spitting spider in the ceiling of my bathroom. And this is why they're so great. They're so neat to watch. But what they do is they don't really like to hunt, but because they don't like to get near things to attack them. So what they do is they hurl these venomous death loogies at their prey, and the prey gets covered in the venom and the ook and can't move. And then it runs over and it'll eat it. So, and you probably have those in your house too. They're one of the most common spiders in North America.
Well, I don't want that kind of spider in my house. That's gross.
No, you can't. No, it's adorable. You should see their little faces.
And Bonnie already has a dog that licks her cat's butt. I mean, this is disgusting.
Why do we have to do a callback to that?
Because this was gross too. This whole spider thing is going to upset Ed.
Oh, Ed, I think Ed has long stopped being a listener to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone. Ed, if you're out there, we really do want to hear from you, by the way. We want to hear how these last couple weeks have been striking you and this interview.
Dr. Eleanor, we had a listener write into us that he was upset that I had said something really gross. And so when he hears this spider loogie story.
Oh, no.
That's it. That's
right.
The end of Ed.
Poor Ed.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Ed.
Well, the American Quakers had a proverb, and that was, if you want to live and thrive, let the spider run alive. And that works unless, of course, you're a fly. Then the spider's parlor is not such a happy place. But stay tuned, everyone, to hear more about your favorite arachnids when we return on Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone. The cat of the week is Jackson from Normal, Illinois.
We'll be right back.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. The Daily Show podcast has everything you need to stay on top of today's news and pop culture. You get hilarious, satirical takes on entertainment, politics, sports, and more from Jon and the team of correspondents and contributors. The podcast also has content you can't get anywhere else, like extended interviews and a roundup of the weekly headlines. Listen to The Daily Show, Ears Edition, wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back with Dr. Eleanor Spicer Rice. And thank you for the spicy music, Colin.
Yeah, Colin. Yeah. So, Dr. Eleanor, you mentioned earlier that each kind of spider... Not every kind has a different kind of web.
Well, yeah.
Right?
No, they do. So the webs are kind of like fingerprints, right? So
really?
But there's different types of spiders in general that build general webs, like the orb webs and cobwebs and those little, you know, sheet webs that we were talking about. And then each spider that builds a web will have its own web. But many spiders don't build webs at all. They're active hunters, like wolf spiders or fishing spiders. They can use webs to make like little sleeping bags for them, or they can use webs to, like jumping spiders, for example, can use webs to make a drag line as they walk in case they tumble off the surface, and they can use it to climb back up. So a lot of spiders don't have webs at all to catch prey.
There's a kind that's all over my back porch, and I call these particular webs Escher webs. Mm. Instead of making the orbs, they make these squares. Do you know what I'm referring to?
No, I know.
Oh, okay. All right, then I don't know.
I know that some spiders do that, but I don't know which species you have back there.
Yeah, and they're not, like, symmetrical. You know, you look at the orb kind. I mean, every now and then we'll get one in the backyard somewhere that is that lasts a long time, and it's just amazing.
Yeah.
But these kind of Escher-y looking ones always look like they're falling apart. You know, they look like they look like how American cars were built in the 70s, like they were supposed to break.
Right.
That was like an
AMC Pacer or something.
Yeah. So, but they're smaller, so the strength of their webs correlates with the type of bug they want to catch, right? So you have bigger spiders, they need thicker webs. If that little Escher web caught a moth, it would freak out. It wouldn't be able to do anything with it because it would be too big. So they have to build their webs exactly right to fit, to catch the kind of prey that they want to catch.
Oh.
And they can use webs for all kinds of things. I mean, in terms of like prey capture and stuff. They can shake the webs to see if somebody's, you know, there or not. And we use spider silk, or we used to use spider silk a lot too, because it's very, very strong. And so,
what'd you use it for?
Well, we all in World War I and II, they would have black widow factories where these people would keep just black widows in little jars, and they would harvest the silk from them because silk is so strong, but it's also so straight, and they would use it to make sights for their weapons. So they
really?
Would use those for the crosshairs for the weapons.
And I never knew that.
The crosshairs in like rifles were
black widow silk. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
And they had whole factories where mostly women would sit there all day and just pull silk out of the butts of black widows.
Okay.
Did there ever be dogs that would lick the
Paula?
I'll let Bonnie ask. You know what, Dr. Eleanor, I'm 60 years old, and I realize there's nothing you can do about that. But here's the thing. So I've been on the planet for 60 years, and I even have a daughter that took a spider class in college and has shared with me. So most of what you're telling me, I have never heard before. Like World War II, there were Black Widow factories or what? I've never heard this, and I read not a lot, but some, and I talk to people, and I watch the news and the occasional nature show. How much of this shit are you making up?
Oh well, you'll have to find that out later.
I mean, it's just crazy to me that I've never heard any of this. My daughter, Allie.
People don't talk about spiders except for your daughter.
Yeah.
I mean, people are scared of them.
Yeah.
20% of us have like genuine arachnophobia.
What is that about? Really? Why do we have it?
Well, they've done some studies say that we could be genetically predisposed to fearing spiders, just like we are to, like, you know, just to save us from things. But most of the studies that have been conducted say that we teach each other to be afraid of spiders. They freak us out. And so, like, when I was little, somebody told me that my granddad was bitten by a brown recluse, which I now know is totally impossible. But I was terrified of spiders. Like, up until I was an adult, I was so afraid of spiders.
So what flipped the switch for you?
I wrote a book about spiders. And I learned what they were doing. I mean, as with most things in life that we're afraid of, when you get to know it, you realize that it's actually pretty fascinating. Humans, mm-hmm. too. Just people you're afraid of or being afraid of experiences or something. When you get to know what's happening, it's fascinating.
Now, what about the big ones? What about the ones that really freak people out? Like, I'm talking about tarantulas and on up and above, like those giant ones you see in pictures of from Australia and stuff. Those creep you out?
No, they don't. They don't creep me out anymore. They're just neat little things that are doing stuff.
No, so tarantulas are not neat little things that are doing
yes,
stuff.
Yes, they are. They're no. really neat.
Tarantulas are
they
really creepy.
They build little
creepy.
Hammocks for themselves so that they can molt. And they're really, they
so they
are.
Can
they're
molt?
Really,
what do you mean by molt?
They molt. Molt.
Oh, molt.
Excuse me.
Oh. Well, they live a long time, don't they? Like some of the bigger spiders really do have long lifespans.
Yeah, the males only live a couple of years, but the females can live like 30. I mean, they can live a long time. And some spiders that live in your house can live a really long time. Most spiders only live about a year, but like some Philostatid spiders that you have, many of you have running around your houses can live, you know, 12, 20 years. And they're
really,
I mean, they are your housemates. Yeah. They probably, some of them were there before you got there and they might be there after you leave.
You know what? If they're my housemates, there are some dishes in the sink right now.
You got to tell them.
They can have at it. I used to work a club many, many years ago in Raleigh, North Carolina. So wait, you might know this club. Charlie Goodnight's. It
Charlie
was a comedy
Goodnight's.
Club. Yeah.
It's the only comedy club we have here. Yes.
Yeah. Well, they used to have in the downstairs dining room, they used to have big like tanks, aquariums, mm-hmm. and in them were tarantulas.
Hmm.
And one time I was there and I had dinner before it was, you know, time to tell my little jokes. And while I'm down there having dinner, somebody happened to notice that the tarantulas weren't in one of the tanks.
Oh,
yeah, that makes for a rough meal and not a fun show. Yeah.
No.
They're like, uh-oh. Oops.
Did they find it?
No. No. Oh. They're probably 4 feet
luggage?
Away from me now. They could be in my luggage. You know, my daughter, Allie, one day she was outside and she starts screaming with excitement. And I went out and she had found a jumping spider. And she said, these are so cute. You have to look at
so
this.
Wonderful.
And we got a, you know, magnifying glass so I could see. And they do. They have these little faces.
Oh,
it kind of was
they're
adorable.
They're so cute. They have those giant eyes. Oh, can I tell you something else about them?
Please.
When they mate, you know, we were talking about how spiders mate. They have little love dances for each other. And the dances are for each species has its own little song and dance because they have really big eyes so they can see. A lot of spiders are pretty much blind. Those that live in webs and stuff can't see very well, but those that can hunt like jumping spiders. So they have these little things where they'll lift their little butts in the air and they'll shake it in the air while they tap out a little song on the ground for the female. It's so cute. And so that's their own song. It's their own language, species mm-hmm. to species, but they also have their own dialect. So like the jumping spiders in your yard, if they talk to a jumping spider of the same species from a lot farther away, they might not be able to understand each other as well because they have their own dialect within their jumping spider language.
Wow.
Wow.
Isn't that
so
beautiful?
So is there some of them that don't pronounce ours?
Probably. Yeah.
Like Bostonian spiders?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm a spider.
I've been living in your yard for a long time.
Yeah. I was, you know what? I seen some other spiders in your car, right in your side view mirror. Yeah. Yeah.
I can move them from your car if you want. It won't be hard.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what we haven't had? Fucking spiders.
I could go for a fly right now.
Who's with me?
I like it that you describe, very much like my daughter Allie, when you even hear the term jumping spider, you jump a little yourself.
Oh, yeah, they're so cute.
Yeah, and that's how she describes them, as cute. But I do have to say that when you see them, like, through a magnifying glass, the little face, you just can hardly believe.
Oh, they look like they've got mustaches.
Yeah, that nature had that kind of attention to detail.
Oh, yeah. It's wonderful. And I was just going to give you a little trick, since it is the end of summer, on how to find hunting spiders in your backyard at night, just in case you want to be freaked out. If you walk outside with a flashlight, they have eye shine like cats do. So if you shine your flashlight kind of low to the grass, you can see all their eyes glimmering at you.
Really? That just made my life that much creepier.
Yeah, that is creepy. And I do it several nights in a row, because sometimes the weather's just right and it just, you will be totally surrounded. I mean, the population density can get so intense in your yard. Sometimes I go out there and I'll see a few, and then sometimes I'll go out in my yard and it looks like dewdrops all over the grass. And there's so many of them out there.
Wow.
Maybe it is dewdrops.
It could be, but when you walk up to it, they run away.
Oh yeah.
Not a lot of dewdrops do that.
You got to follow it down to the spider to make sure. Yeah.
Yeah, they don't retreat. We're hearing all this, all these really cool stories about spider sex, but do they have families? They don't have families. They don't hang out with their mate, right?
They're not sociable.
Well, it depends. Like crab spiders, these spiders that live in the heads of flowers and stuff, they have this like terrible boyfriends also that like jump on their backs once they finally get up there, because they have to wander up and down flower stalks until they find a flower that has a crab spider on it. So once they get there, they're not going to let her go. So they're kind of clingy boyfriends. They hang out with her until she's like finally going to lay her eggs. But there are spiders like wolf spiders, that the ones I'm telling you that you're going to see in your backyard. Mm-hmm. They hold their babies on their backs for a long time until they're ready to go away. So a lot of times you'll see a wolf spider with spiderlings just packed on her back, and she just walks around with her little baby spiders until it's time for them to go somewhere.
Hmm? But they came from eggs, right?
Yep. So they carry the egg case around with them, and then when they hatch, all the babies come out and crawl onto her back, and then they just stay back there until they're old enough to go away. It's pretty cute if you look at it, but if you are afraid of them and you kick one and hundreds of spiders, you know, start running all over you, that's your own fault. So those are really cool. And you can see those now. I've started seeing them now. Now through about September, you'll see wolf spiders, mamas with babies on her back. But a lot of spider babies, what they do is they need to disperse across the world, right? I mean, they need to get away from the web because their mama could eat them, because their mama can't see very well and she doesn't know who's who. So what they do when they hatch is they go to the highest place they can, and they release a little tiny filament of silk into the air. And the wind and the Earth's electrostatic fields cling to that filament. And they pick the baby spider up. It's called ballooning. And they carry her away to somewhere else. And so.
Yeah, we all saw that in Charlotte's Web at the end.
Right. Oh, yeah. So that's what they were doing. And they have no idea where they're going to end up. And so they're really good at colonizing new environments that way. But sometimes, because it works with the electrostatic fields, what happens is, or just a few times in recorded history, is that all the ballooning spiders at one time will converge in one place, and they'll find places like whole towns that are totally covered in like millions and millions of spiders.
Wow.
It looks like snow. Wow. It looks like the whole town has been snowed on.
They usually, because basically they're, you know, they're leaving the nest, they're moving out.
Right.
And so usually, especially in August and September, they will stop by Target and get all the
extra
supplies.
Extra long sheets.
Yes, that's right. The extra long sheets.
Yeah.
Well, this is so.
This is amazing.
It is amazing.
Thank you so
much. Now I'm scared to even be alive.
Well, no, you're supposed to be thrilled.
I'm a little scared and a little thrilled. I'm gonna take a flashlight to the backyard tonight and figure out which I am. All right. Thanks to Dr. Rice, we've learned that much of what we thought we knew about spiders was a web of lies. And now, Dr. Eleanor, we're going to take the information you gave us and run it through the old Pouncedonator. Paula?
Colin Miller, first of all, thank you so much for stitching me up. And now, if you could give me a little background music, I will tell you what I've just learned. Thank you. Perfect. Well, I'll tell you what. That was fascinating. Dr. Eleanor, you taught me so much. But I have to confess, it may have been pearls before swine, because there's only one fact that's going to really stick in my head, and that's the one that says you're only 4 feet away from a spider at any given time. You know what that means? I don't see any spiders, so that means that right now, a spider is spying on me. I'm standing in the middle of my office/bedroom, and I am going to turn in every direction and look exactly 4 feet away from me until I find that spider. I look to my right, and there's the honeybee book that I got out of the library before COVID, and will have to launder Russian oligarch money from Deutsche Bank in order to get a loan big enough to pay the library overdue fee. And I still haven't read it. I'll bet it's behind that book. Ugh. Ugh. Nope, not there. I turn a little further to the right. I'll bet it's behind the turntable or the fax machine or under the answering machine, which would explain my outgoing message having been changed to, "You have reached a big fucking spider. Leave a message quick. I'm gonna have sex tonight and I'll probably be eaten." No, it's not there. I know, it's behind my glass-framed Where Angels Go Trouble Follows movie poster. Let me get a clear glass and a postcard. I'll get it. Ah, shit. Not there either. Neither is Thomas Coyne. Let me put this coin here. I turn a little more to the right. It's gotta be behind these alphabetized videotapes, directly 4 feet from me. Stardust Memories, Strangers on a Train, Streetcar Named Desire, Stormy Weather, Stir Crazy, Sunset Boulevard. If it's behind that one, I'll name it Max. Sweet Smell of Success, The Taking of Pelham 1-2-3, Take the Money and Run, A Tale of Two Cities, Tampopo, Taxi Driver, Tender Mercies, This Land is Mine. Not here either. No spider. See? Dr. Eleanor was wrong. Ah, shit. That was metric. Start over.
Well, she is the author of Dr. Eleanor's Book of Common Spiders. Dr. Eleanor Spicer Rice, thank you so much for coming on our show. That was a delight.
Thank you both. Y'all were a delight. I really appreciate it.
All right. Thanks so much. Take care. Stay safe.
Thanks. See ya. Bye.
Coming up, we have an entry in the contest to compose a theme song for Captain Crinkle's spinoff show. And how come nobody's writing a theme song for me? Tony Anita Hull opens up the mailbag. That's coming up right after this.
Jesus fucks.
Get ready for the miracle of Mega, a comedy podcast from the staff of a fictional mega church.
And not only does he fuck, but he's the best at it.
I'm Holly Loren.
And I'm Greg Hess.
Our characters, Hallie and Gray, welcome a new guest each week, played by some of the biggest names in comedy and podcasting.
Like Scott Aukerman, Lauren Lapkus, Paul Scheer, Jason Mantzoukas, Cecily Strong, and Duncan Trussell.
I just love to think about that, the light shining down on all those corpses in the water and Noah just going by and maybe a mom being like, "Please, we're running out of energy. Can you please let us on the boat?"
It's completely improvised and it's devilishly funny.
Is there any question you have for us about, you know, what it means to live a life in Christ?
I guess, how much do you think is bullshit?
There's a new episode every Sunday.
Listen and subscribe to Mega, wherever you get your podcasts.
Best I ever had. Best I, y'all can do it. Y'all can do it. Y'all sing along. You know what I'm saying? Here go. Jesus, you the best.
Jesus, you're the best.
You to be the best.
Jesus, you're the best.
You okay, never mind.
Best I ever had. Best wow. I ever had.
Fun fact, research has shown that young children ask a question every 2.5 minutes, averaging about 300 questions a day. And in America, 90% of those begin with the words, "Can I have?"
Hello, it is I, French President Trump, announcing to you nobodies that I have my own mini-podcast, the French President Trump Weekly Presidential Press Conference. It drops weekly on Fridays at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's a three-hour time difference, which I calculated with new scratch paper, new calculator, because I am a very stable genius. It's like nothing anyone has ever heard before. No other president has been able to do a mini podcast like this. Lincoln tried, but he couldn't get it done. So listen to moi take questions from the press every week. People are saying...
And we're back. Thank you, house band Colin Miller. You are shredding on that jazzy guitar. Tony Nita-Hull, you
yes.
read through 100 emails from nobodies the other day.
I did.
How was that experience?
It was loads of fun. I do love hearing from our nobodies. They're the best.
All right. Well, you know, that necessitates a segment that we love. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Mailbag. Mailbag. Thank you. Thank you, auxiliary house band Paula Poundstone.
There it is, Adam.
Thank you, Paula. All right, Tony, what you got for us? What's on the hopper?
I'm not finished playing. I can't do it. Adam's here again. Okay, go ahead, you guys. Sorry.
Okay. Mailbag.
Okay, so we actually got a wonderful, I knew it. We got a fabulous theme song for Captain Crinkle.
Fantastic.
Because a couple of weeks ago, we debuted a sort of a demo of her eventual podcast.
Yep, exactly. And I put on Facebook to ask for some theme songs, and we got one from Nobody Sydney Atwood. And I have to tell you, it's a treat, so I'm going to play it for you now.
Welcome to 4 painful hours of life that you'll never get back. Ask for a story, she'll Google a fact. It's a big Alamofri of talking and blocking out, staying on track.
Emperor Go-Uga.
I've got an inkling, there'll be lots of crinkling, especially if something important is said, like... Sorry, can't hear, there's an earbud in here. Just make sure to hide bubble wrap when she's near. And if you should long for a song to be honestly famous, don't count on her iTunes career. She fought with the captain in gloomy trench bottom. Still one fateful day, t'was the Gouda that got him. And her conversation ain't scrawny, but goddamn it, Bonnie.
Goddamn it, Bonnie.
My Bonnie lies over and over again about trivial shit, Paula's jokes she don't get. But don't throw a fit, please just listen to this. May just resemble a runny word dump, but at least she's still way more coherent and funny than President Trump.
Well, he low.
Wow.
That is fantastic.
There you have it.
Who
That's
was that really from? Great.
Nobody, Sydney Atwood.
Wow.
Oh, Sydney Atwood. That was really special.
Yeah. Sydney, you should be doing so much more with yourself.
Than writing Sydney. Captain Crinkle theme songs. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Wow, I'm impressed. Sydney, you have to, what'd you say, Paula? What was my advice? You have to open big and close bigger? Sydney did that.
I forgot your advice, sorry.
That was incredible.
Thank you, Sydney.
Yeah.
That was really impressive.
All right, Tony Nita-Hull, what else is in the hopper?
Yeah, no, I love this next email. Hello, Paula or Bonnie or Tony or Adam. My name is Noah Helton. I'm an 18-year-old entering my first year of college, and I'm interested in your internship offer in your last episode. I'm aware that your previous intern was met with an unfortunate demise, and he is no longer with us. I'm sorry for your loss. However, I cannot help but see the opportunity in his misfortune. I'll be going to University of North Carolina. My mom and I love your podcast. We've listened to every episode. And thanks to this podcast, we have dozens of inside jokes that none of our family understands. Thank you for your time, and I am excited to hear back. Best, Nobody, Noah Helton.
Wow.
Wow, that is really nice. I you know,
and brave.
I like it. We apparently we've driven a wedge in the Helton family. Noah and his mother being on one side and the other little Heltons being on the other side because
that's
they have
fine.
All these inside
if they wanna,
jokes.
If they want to get on the inside, they can listen to our podcast.
I don't think so. I feel that our podcast is really for Noah and his mother. You know, the thing that I've come to realize is we're not for everyone. And even within an individual family, you know, will be for some and not for... So it's Noah and his mom against the other Heltons. So far, no legal action has been taken. But Noah, I think we weren't... Because we're still grieving, we weren't really considering replacing our intern just yet.
Doug has left a hole in this show.
As soon as we're finished with the grieving process, Noah, you're in.
Welcome to our new intern, Noah Helton.
Yeah. I think it's what Doug would have wanted if we had ever asked him what he wanted. Yeah.
We never did because he was our intern. It was his job to ask what we wanted.
Yeah. You know, I'll tell you something. There is a movement now for interns not to do stuff like get coffee. Like, really, the interns should be... that interns should be in like the meetings and they should really be seeing how things work and they should really
right.
be, you know, shadowing the people who really do the jobs
sure.
as opposed to just, you know, getting coffee. And especially now with the stay at home order, because, you know, by the time Noah gets my coffee coming from Adams, the show will be over.
That's right.
Besides which, Noah, and write this down, I don't drink coffee.
Not at all. She doesn't like coffee. No. I think, you know, one thing that Noah might benefit from around here on our particular show is a rule that we
security.
Passed that we're calling...
It's security.
We're calling,
he'll benefit from security.
Yes,
yeah,
because we passed a rule called Doug's Law, and that is recognizing the fundamental right of every intern to not get murdered.
Yeah.
Oh, hey. Hi there. Excuse me for a second. Excuse me.
Hi. What are you doing here? Put a mask on. You're in my house. Who are you?
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. You got me. I shouldn't be in here, I guess. I'm so sorry to interrupt, Miss Poundstone. I'll just be on my way.
What are you doing here?
I'm sorry, miss. I should have introduced myself. I'm Detective Tom Delano from the Los Angeles Police Department, and I don't mean to bother you. I was just poking around.
Do you have a warrant? You're not allowed to just poke around my house.
You know, I ask myself that same question. Here I am, investigating the murder of an intern that was killed miles from here. So what am I doing at the home of the lady who hosts the podcast he worked on?
Wait a minute. You mean Doug the intern? Am I a suspect?
Oh, no, ma'am. No, ma'am. Absolutely not. Oh, no. Ah, geez, no. I'm sure you're very broken up over this.
I am.
Oh, yeah. Oh, there. Oh, don't. Oh, please don't. Oh, jeez, Miss Poundstone. I'm really sorry if I caused you any pain over this.
That's Ms. Poundstone. I'm not married.
Oh, really? An attractive girl like you? What a shame. Oh, I'm sorry. That was out of line.
Yeah, go fuck yourself. And why are you wearing that trench coat? We're in Santa Monica.
I know. It's a habit. My mother bought me this trench coat years ago, and whenever I'm on a murder case, I tend to wear one. It's not a big deal. I'm just going to show myself out, okay? Yeah.
Yeah, would you? Thank you.
Yeah,
over there.
Yeah. No, totally.
Going near you. I'm staying six feet away from you, so go over there.
I know I'm leaving, but, Ms. Poundstone.
I got a dog in the backyard that could fucking eat you.
Love dogs.
You should... You won't like this dog. She does a lot of pranks.
Okay. Ms. Poundstone, before I go, though, one more thing.
Yeah, what? What, you know, Detective Delano? What?
I keep coming back to this book that was on the floor next to poor Doug's bastion head. I mean, if this Adam Felber is a suspect, why would he use his own book as a murder weapon?
You know, I have absolutely no idea. It does seem a little clumsy now that you mention it.
Clumsy, yes. That's exactly the word I was looking for. Gee, you know, you're really good with words.
Thank you. You might want to move. There's a spider 4 feet from you. Well...
Oh, jeez.
The reason I'm so good with words, sir, is that I have a helpful and informative vocabulary song that I add to every week.
Well, what do you know? Isn't that interesting? You know, my wife, she loves those vocabulary songs. I'm going to tell her to listen to your podcast.
Well, thank you. You know what? It's one listener at a time.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. One at a time. That's exactly how it's done. Word of mouth.
I know, right?
But, you know, on that topic, about this book by Adam Felber, well, just as a top-of-my-head question, a lot of people might have a copy of that book, right?
Well, it was definitely well-reviewed.
Right, and I'm sure as his friend, you have a copy, right, Ms. Poundstone?
I do. I have a copy. He gave me a copy.
Would you mind very much giving me a look at that copy?
You know what? This room is a mess. I was just looking for a spider. I don't really know where it is right now. I got partway through it and I couldn't understand it. I can find it. I can find it.
Okay.
I definitely do have it. If you're thinking that my copy of the book is the one you found near Doug's head with the divot in his head where the corner of the book fits in exactly, then you're barking up the wrong tree.
Oh, I assure you, Miss Poundstone, that was the farthest thing from my mind. I thought maybe there was an autograph in it or something like that. Anyway, I was asking for no reason at all. You know what?
That's five feet. We're supposed to be 6 feet apart.
You're right. Yeah. All right, I'm going to go.
All right. Yeah.
But you know, Miss Poundstone, one more thing.
Good day, detective. Oh, and take this search warrant with you. Oh, you don't have one. Never mind. Ooh, boy, that was weird.
It sounded like somebody was visiting your house.
We have got to solve this Doug thing.
Well, if we and our listeners don't do it before these detectives do, I fear for all of us.
You know what? I'm worried about Noah.
Yeah, our new intern, Noah. Hey, yeah. Tony, let's get back to that mailbag. What else you got for us?
Okay, here we go. I am Sergeant Sandra Dominic from the United States of America, currently serving in the U.S. Embassy as Chief Security Guard in Baghdad, Iraq. I have an important business proposal I would like to discuss with you for the benefit of us, and I'm waiting for your response.
All right.
What?
Well, first of all, Sergeant Sandra Dominic, is there any way you could leave your post there in Baghdad, Iraq, and come protect Noah?
He's going to be fine.
We already had a tragedy. And so I hope it's not too much to ask of Sergeant Sandra Dominic.
To abandon her post with the United States military to protect an intern in North Carolina?
All life is precious, Adam.
Okay.
I'm so curious about what her business proposal is.
Yeah. Sandra, I guess the first thing I'd ask is, Tony, do you think this is on the up and up that Sandra Dominic is the chief security guard in Baghdad, Iraq?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
You don't? Boy, I fell for it. Hook, line, and sinker. In fact,
I sent
my Bitcoin to Obama. So I apparently just fall for stuff.
Wow, me too. Well, Sandra, now that you know we're easy marks, please send ahead your business proposal.
Yeah. Oh, because if there's anybody I want to go into business with, it's somebody who lied their ass off in their email.
And gets away with it. Yeah, absolutely. Let's do
this
that.
This is perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Tony, more? Let's continue to hit that mailbag.
Yeah, Paula, Adam, and crew, thank you for continuing to produce this podcast. During your planning meetings, where Paula and Captain Crinkle are both, quote, off the clock, how far off track do those conversations go? That's from Michael Schulman.
Michael.
Oh, my God.
They
Michael.
Run like a finely tuned machine, those conversations.
Yeah. If the machine is called the Irrelevantator.
No. What we do is, it's like we're going through files. We begin with a topic, right. And when we go around to each person and say, would you like to share your views on how we should open the show this week? You have 30
right.
seconds.
And
in 30 seconds, that person is done.
That's yes, very, and then somebody says, do we want to do that? And Bonnie says, what? I wasn't listening. And Paula says, okay. That's because you're multitasking and multitasking doesn't exist. And Bonnie says, it does exist. And I say, so let's just hear the idea again so that Bonnie can decide whether she agrees with it or not.
You know that CarMax online car sales thing? Bonnie bought
yes.
a car one time during our meeting and insured it and got extra tires. Here's what happens, Michael. I, by the way, generally speaking, stay quite focused. But the others, it's like a dog that is laying in the yard and then all of a sudden smells a smell. Anytime a word is mentioned, like something will get said and they all pretend that they're listening to the conversation and then it turns out they're Googling it, right? Assholes, you hear them laughing. That's exactly what they do. Like, it'll be something that's not even important at all. It'll be like, you know, I don't know. Someone will go, well, are all the Bee Gees still alive? And then we're like, okay, let's just keep moving on. And then slowly but surely, the Bee Gee information begins to surface as if they just had it in their head, you know. Like, no, I don't believe that the Bee Gees are alive. It's so annoying.
And I should add, this is a little tip or a little nugget of trivia that you wouldn't know, is that the meetings are nominally being run by our writer, Ken Lezebnik, the guy who's almost never on the show, though you might remember the vastly successful summer serial from last year, Ken Lezebnik's America. And Ken is also susceptible to Googling, so the guy who's supposed to be moving us along is often almost as distracted as Bonnie Burns.
And then Adam is usually cooking, and he has us just in like a headset thing. And so you can hear fucking Benihana's through. So at one point he's like, you hear like, and that's because he just started the volcano with the fire that comes out through the chopped up onions.
Yes. You know, that's not untrue.
Yeah. So the answer to your question, Michael, is, oh, those meetings go quite smoothly.
They take almost as long as this goddamn podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. We're, in fact, we're not even doing the podcast right now. This is yesterday's meeting.
Hey, Tony, let's get back to that mailbag. What else you got for us?
Yeah. So Susie Smith on Facebook wrote, Bonnie, I love you. I'm certain your hair is lovely. By the way, will we be seeing Adam's unshaved nape anytime soon?
Yeah. Oh.
Whoa. Who's that from, Tony?
Susie Smith.
Susie Smith. That's a real name. So Susie is referring to when Bonnie said that she'd only washed her hair twice during the pandemic?
Since mid-March.
That's during the, okay, since mid-March.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah.
All right, I stand corrected.
If you're going to be literal like that.
I think that's, hey, listen, it doesn't matter to me. I don't.
Yeah, no, I'm nowhere near Bonnie's head. But her email is about my hair, and I will say this. Because my daughter has requested I grow out my hair for the first time in more than a decade, I have now washed my hair two or three times with shampoo for the first time in more than a decade.
I had no idea that you'd been shaving it. I just thought it didn't grow.
Really?
Yeah. But this is just a beautiful symbiotic relationship. The shampoo that Bonnie hasn't been using, Adam, has been able to make use of. That's fantastic.
Yes, I have. I mean, it's almost an inch long now, my hair. I think it is, in fact, an inch long. So
get out of town.
The thing is, the reason why I started shaving it is that there's almost no hair on top anymore. But I have a luxurious side mane.
Oh.
Yeah.
What was that? You know, I stopped.
Yeah.
Well, I haven't cut my hair since the pandemic. And I think I'm never going to cut it again because I was so annoyed by those people that were protesting for the stay-at-home orders to be lifted because they were like, we need haircuts. We need haircuts. And I just think, what the hell is the matter with America? We are the wussiest people in the world. So my hair has gotten longer and longer. And the only real drawback to that is it is constantly in my mouth. I don't know how the hell cats stand it. Every time I turn one way or the other, like my hair right. goes in my mouth again. I have fur balls.
Wow. That shouldn't be. You shouldn't have fur balls.
It used to be that at night I would be in my bedroom and I could hear my cats out in the living room going like that.
Right.
And now it's the other way around. Now the cats are knocking on the door going, are you okay? Are you okay in there? Because I have fur balls.
Tony, what else you got for us?
You know, I can't find who sent it, but someone did complain about Bonnie's crinkling, how it feels cheapened now. Because
it's cheapened?
She only crinkles a piece of paper. There's no wrapper crinkling, and there's no crinkling noise in the background anymore.
That's true.
I gotta say, it's this damn COVID-19 stuff. Bonnie is no longer in the studio with us, so she's no longer off mic. Where she did the worst of her crinkling. So now it's performative crinkling, whereas in the past she'd just be, you know, 15 feet behind Paula, you know, taking out the day's newspaper or lighting a small campfire or whatever it was she was doing back there. And now she just performs the crinkles.
Yeah. Sometimes she used to break up kindling.
Break up kindling. Yeah, that's what she would do. So, yeah, well, I have to agree with that email.
Well,
yeah, me too.
Tell that emailer, whoever it may be, to hang in there because COVID-19 will not last forever. It won't disappear magically either, but it will not last forever. And therefore, eventually, we will be back in the studio and Bonnie will bring bubble wrap.
Oh, yeah. She will get right back to the program of annoying the living crap out of me.
Yeah.
Well, it's
good. We have that to look forward to.
Okay.
Tony, is that mailbag?
That is mailbag.
Mailbag. Well, Paula, we've talked about spiders on this show, and quoted from Charlotte's Web, E.B. White also said, once you begin watching spiders, you haven't time for much else.
I got
it. Nice mailbag. You finally got it. Now, I hope our listeners
you know what?
Will... You what?
It's the orange one and then the red one.
Any German from the fest would tell you that.
Boy, did I enjoy that. You know, there's no more deserving person than me for that Glockenspiel Award.
No. There's nobody more deserving. Now, Paula, I was trying to segue into saying that if the listeners from our show will stop watching spiders or making theme songs long enough to at least check out the Poundstone product line.
I had it once. What, Adam? There are so many. There are so many fine acquisitions at my store. It doesn't take long to check out at all. It's paulapoundstone.com. You can get the Poundstone pussy pillows. Wendell has corrected me. I used to say they were like 2 inches by 3 inches. Not true at all. They're 4.5 inches by 5 inches. They're huge and they're full of fresh nip that your cat will enjoy. On one side, there's a cat joke, and on the other side, I'm happy to autograph it to your cat. When you fill out the form online, there will be a space where you put in your cat's name, and it'll be done. Say the word, and it'll be done. The other thing that's available, not on my website, I'm doing cameo videos now. So if you would like me to send a message, a video message, to someone that you know, you can go to cameo.com/PaulaP33. That's cameo.com/PaulaP33. And back to my website, I do have a series of comedy videos that I made specifically to help get people through the COVID-19 depression. They're called RX Laughter Videos. If you go to paulapoundstone.com and you click on the tab that says RX Laughter Videos, they'll come up.
Oh, and Miss Poundstone, one more thing. I'm sorry to poke my head back in again.
Yeah, it's Detective Delano.
You know, probably nothing, but the boys in the lab, they had this lab test of Doug's blood, and there was a significant amount of catnip.
Oh, there was catnip. Well, then Doug may have been working alongside Wendell over in the sweatshop making the...
Yeah, that's probably what it was. That's probably, yeah. As I said, it's probably nothing. I was just checking in. I'm sorry.
Thanks very much, because I know you're desperate to clear my name.
Oh, absolutely. Of course. You were never a suspect. Anyway, I gotta go.
All right, we want to hear from you nobodies out there. If you want to enter our theme song contest, send us a sync show description or just drop us a line. You can do it by sending it to nobodylistenstopaulapoundstone@gmail.com. Once again, that's nobodylistenstopaulapoundstone@gmail.com.
Oh! You can find me and Adam on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. We're all over the place. And check out our Facebook page at Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone.
That's our show. Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone is hosted by Paula Poundstone and yours truly, Adam the Felber. Special thanks to our guest, Dr. Eleanor Spicer Rice. And thanks to our house band, Colin Miller, Operations Director for Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. Our show is produced by Paula Poundstone, Adam Felber, Bonnie Burns, Ken Lezebnik, and Tony Anita Hull. Mixing by Michael Hoagie. Starburns production by Land Romo. And thanks to former intern Doug and to our new intern. What's his name again?
Noah,
thanks, Noah. Welcome aboard. Technical direction by Jessica Gutierrez. Transcription services for the show provided by TranscribeMe, a premier internationally used transcription service. Use code Paula Poundstone when placing your order at TranscribeMe.com to receive an expedited service.
That's our show for tonight. Won't somebody please listen to me?
Wow, Paula, that detective showed up at your house twice.
He's sniffing around. That's the thing.
Yeah, I'm just saying he hasn't been at my place even once.
Yeah, well, I'm gonna tell him to go to your place.
I'm just thinking maybe you should lawyer up, Poundstone.
Nah, I'm not afraid of him.
Just spiders, huh?
You know what? He walked like 4 feet from where I was. That detective was at one point standing 4 feet from where I was. And you know what that means. He might have killed
me. He's a spider? Oh, he killed a spider.
Yeah. I didn't want to freak him out, but like, there's got to be a spider right under you. If you're 4 feet from me, there's got to be a spider right under you. Unless I'm the spider. Unless I'm his spider.
And he's yours?
Yeah.
This thing goes deep.
A podcast network.